I mean, what a massive, massive win that was for LSU. I mean, undefeated, number seven ranked Ole Miss coming into Tiger Stadium, and you escape with a win. Now, it was beyond just an entertaining Saturday afternoon in Baton Rouge, and it was beyond just getting the Magnolia Bowl trophy back into LSU's hands. It goes so much deeper than that. So, just how big was that win for LSU and what that means for this team? We'll get into that on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, we are part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. And I also want to let you all know that today's edition of Locked On LSU is brought to you by Sling TV. Sling has something for everyone, especially when it comes to college football coverage, which I know y'all all want. So with a massive lineup of games across the ACC, the Big Ten, Pac-12, and SEC, I can always catch the games that I want on Sling, and now you can too. So check out Sling TV now to see the massive lineup of games they have all season long. Sling, the TV that you love for a price that you will love too. So try it out today. My name is Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every day. I graduated from LSU. I've been covering LSU football since 2016, and I now host a sports talk radio show in Nashville, Tennessee. But what a massive win for LSU, and I cannot overstate just how big I think that win was. And there's so many layers to why I think that was such a massive win for LSU, and I'll point out the obvious. Beating a top 10 undefeated team at home, that's huge. Beating a top 10 undefeated, top 10 undefeated in divisional rival. Massive. Now you're sitting atop the SEC West, tied with Alabama. That's massive. Just a statement win for this team that sets them up so well in the SEC West. A massive statement win against an Ole Miss team that had a ton of respect going into this game, to be completely honest with you. An undefeated Lane Kiffin coach team. I don't know how many people really expected LSU not to just get a win, but such a massive statement win as they did, a 45-20 win over a top 10 team. That gets eyes on LSU's program. And that starts to get heads turned and say, okay, maybe we really do need to start paying attention to LSU. Maybe LSU is legit. For all of those reasons, you know, the standings in the SEC West, getting an in-division win, extending your season to 6-2, which, to be completely honest with you all, through the Ole Miss game, I did not expect LSU to be sitting in as good of a position that they are. So for those reasons, you know, the standings, the wins, and the just the statement that LSU made beating Ole Miss, I think those things are all invaluable. But I also want to look at the other side of this win. And I want to focus on the process of this win. Process is a word that Brian Kelly has used all season long, from his very first day on campus through today, through Monday. He emphasizes the importance of the process. And Brian Kelly also emphasizes how the process isn't going to be a short one and is not going to be an easy one. Brian Kelly said going into this tough stretch in October that LSU faced of taking on Tennessee and taking on Florida and taking on Ole Miss and then having Alabama and Arkansas and Texas A&M on the other side of that. He said there's going to be some really tough days and it's going to be really hard and we're going to be faced with adversity, which we did see in that Tennessee game. But I think that LSU is set up in so much of a better position than I expected them to be at this point in the season. And I think that has everything to do with the adjustments that have been made by this coaching staff. This coaching staff, I believe, has learned from a lot of its mistakes. Now, there are a lot of mistakes that need to be fixed. Special teams, for example, if you follow me on Twitter, you can see week in and week out my frustration with Brian Poulian. You probably share the same frustrations. Those are things that also still need to be worked out. Those are coaching issues, coaching mistakes that still have yet to be fixed. But I look at, you know, when I say learning from their mistakes, I look at Harold Perkins, for example. Let him be a microcosm for this coaching staff and what they have learned and adjusted from this team. Harold Perkins was on the sidelines for majority of that game against Tennessee. And Brian Kelly's justification for that was Tennessee plays a very spread offense. We don't really trust Harold Perkins, or we don't believe he's quite there yet in his development to play outside linebacker in the, you know, the nickel and dime defensive packages that LSU was going to have to use with a very upbeat, high tempo and spread offense like Tennessee's. I understood his justification and I heard him there, and I just never agreed with it because I thought you have to have your best players out there on the field. Now, from the learning of the mistakes, we saw the same package, defensive package, from LSU in the first quarter that we saw against Tennessee, those nickels and dime packages. And that means they've got three down linemen up front. They've got two linebackers and then an outside linebacker, B.J. Ojulari, and then five defensive backs. That was the defensive package that LSU used for the majority of the first quarter, excuse me. And they learned from the mistake that they had made, giving up three scores and three possessions to Ole Miss, that something had to change there. They learned from the mistake that they made the Tennessee game, and they put Harold Perkins out there. Of course, that means taking out B.J. Ojulari. And me, I am a person that doesn't like necessarily taking out arguably the best player on your team. But there were adjustments that had to be made. I think they learned from the mistake that they made in the Tennessee game that having Harold Perkins on the sideline, albeit it meant taking B.J. Ojulari out, something had to give, and there had to be some sort of changes. They learned from their mistake in the Tennessee game, and they learned from their mistakes after giving up 17 points to Ole Miss in Ole Miss's first three possessions, and it worked. And I want to get into much further about exactly how big of an impact Harold Perkins made in that game and how smart that was of Matt House to make those adjustments and how big those adjustments really truly were for this team and how it limited what Ole Miss could do offensively. But that is just one instance that I think that this coaching staff is learning from their mistakes. And I also think that this coaching staff is learning themselves and is learning this team so much more because we're seeing things click so much more. Kayshon Booty didn't have an outstanding day, you know, per the box score. And he didn't have sexy stats that really kind of made you gasp. I mean, Kayshon Booty on the day had 43 yards on four receptions, but he came up clutch in third down situations when LSU needed him to. And I think that is something that's clicking with Kayshon Booty and this offense and this coaching staff. I think this offensive line overall has started to click. And I think it's because this coaching staff is learning the offensive line. The offensive line is learning from each other, and they're all learning from their mistakes. Overall to say, I think that this win meant so much more than the standings in the SEC West and extending the season to 6-2, all things that are so important and big, especially when you're thinking of the expectations for this team coming into the season. But I think if you're going to take anything away from this Ole Miss game to kind of apply it moving forward and to adjust our expectations moving forward, I think that there is more of a belief in this coaching staff, both inside the locker room and also I think from everyone else, from LSU fans to just college football observers alike. I think that is huge. And I also think that, you know, this process that Brian Kelly has been harping on all season long that I almost got tired of hearing about because I thought, okay, you know, what's with the process where things aren't improving? After week 3, week 4, week 5, why aren't things improving? Why haven't things changed? Why are there still questionable decisions being made? That was all part of the process. Now, I also want to couch that by saying, I understand that it's been 2 really good weeks back to back and that we've seen some bad from LSU earlier in the season. I'm not saying that all of a sudden, all of these issues or problems or mistakes that LSU was making in the past are all of a sudden solved. But with a 2-week sample size against Florida and against Ole Miss, that makes me feel a whole lot better about what this team can do moving forward. It's not invincible. It still has plenty of fatal flaws. But I think that I feel, and you probably feel the same way, so much better about this team than I have felt all season long, rightfully so. I feel so much better about this team than I expected to going into this season. And that, to me, all boils down to the process. And Brian Kelly has proven that the process, it's working. But coming up next, talk some good, talk some bad. What were some things that I saw from LSU that I need to see tightened up going into this game against Alabama? We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Nissan, because our partners at Nissan have worked with us to create a new segment across the Locked On College Network. It is the Thrilling Moment in College Football, which of course is brought to you by Nissan. The thrilling designs behind the new lineup from Nissan are intended to empower drivers and vehicles as capable as the driver themselves. So when I think of unbelievable abilities on the field for this week's Thrilling Moment, I have to look at Joe Fouché's interception in the end zone because, you know, Ole Miss was driving into LSU territory. Jackson Dart throws a ball into the end zone, picked off by Joe Fouché, and it seemed like Ole Miss was kind of scratching and clawing their way back from that in the end. LSU was able to score on that drive, and also props to Micah Baskerville for getting that pressure on Jackson Dart and to be able to force the interception. So I thought that was huge this week from Joe Fouché to be able to stop Ole Miss's offensive momentum and really kind of seal the deal for LSU's win. This segment has been inspired by the thrilling new designs featured across Nissan's new lineup of vehicles. Pursue what thrills you in the all-new Frontier, Armada, or Pathfinder today. Available now at NissanUSA.com. Well, thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. So for your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. But thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Now, even with such a huge win, and even with all of those accolades that I just gave LSU and this coaching staff, so on and so forth, deservedly so, there are a few things that I'm taking away from this game against Ole Miss, from this win against Ole Miss, that I think LSU can still tighten up and continue this winning streak that they're on right now. So I usually say the three things that I don't like. This week, I only had two, and I love that. I love when I can just narrow down the three things that I don't like to one or two. The first thing is kind of a two-parter because it's a thing I didn't like and also a thing that I did like, and I did like it because of the thing that I didn't like, and I'll just get into it. The slow start. LSU fell behind early 17-3. And I'm going to be completely honest with y'all. I was watching the game with a bunch of my friends who all went to Ole Miss. And they're cheering and excited, you know, about Ole Miss's big lead. And they were thinking, how dare Vegas, you know, make LSU favorite in this game. You know, this is going to get ugly. This is going to get bad. Caroline, turn away, so on and so forth. And they were like, why do you look so calm? Why, like, how do you look so calm when your team is down by two touchdowns? And I'm like, look, this is just what this team does. Because I learned early on in this season that a game that might look like it could get very, very ugly, not for LSU's opponent, but for LSU themselves, I sit back and I'm amazed at how this team was able to turn things around. So while I didn't like the slow start, while I probably wasn't sweating as much as I would be if I didn't know this team well enough, I was still sweating a little bit, just trying to put on a cool face for my friends that went to Ole Miss. But I do think that is yet another testament to this team's kind of never quit and never count us out kind of mentality. We've seen it all season long against Mississippi State. LSU's down entering the half and LSU comes back and is electric offensively in the second half. We saw it against Auburn, get down 17-0 and you're able to scratch and claw your way back to a win. Even when it's not pretty, they still get it done. We saw it against Florida, maybe not as dramatically, but whenever LSU, you know, had their special teams woes early in the game and Florida was able to capitalize, LSU was able to come back with another statement win. We saw it against Ole Miss on Saturday. That LSU fell behind early, and it looked like there was nothing that they could do to stop this Ole Miss offense. They go on a 42-3 run. So the good thing is they were able to come back from it, and they've been able to prove that they can come back from early game deficits. That is a good thing. But the bad thing is this trend is going to get really uncomfortable against really good teams. Alabama. I don't know if you can get behind 17-3, 17-0, 14-0, whatever it might be against Alabama and come back from it. You can do it against Auburn. And I've said all season long, but can you do it against Ole Miss? Well, they proved that they could. But Alabama is a better team than Ole Miss is. Alabama, I don't think, is going to let you go on a 42-3 run. So that's another thing that I'm looking for. While it's a good thing that LSU was able to come back and make a big statement against Ole Miss, can they keep that up against Alabama? If I'm a betting woman, I would bet no. So that's one thing that I need to start seeing from this LSU team, start seeing things change, is come out fast. It's a good thing that this team can make adjustments. Absolutely. the adjustments that Matt House made, which I want to get into a little bit more coming up next, the adjustments that Matt House made were huge for this team. And the offense was able to overcome the early deficit that the defense got them in. But look at that Alabama game. And that Alabama game just got so much more interesting. Don't make it more interesting for Alabama than it needs to be by allowing them to score all over you in the first quarter and you have to come back from it later in the game, because Alabama is just too good of a team to be able to do that. So slow start, need to see a come out fast against Alabama and the rest of the teams on their schedule. Another thing that I didn't like, which I'm getting really, really tired of talking about, you're probably getting tired of me talking about it, special teams, yet again on the opening kickoff, an offsides call on the opening kickoff. I get so frustrated about these special teams woes because I'll take a phrase from a former NFL GM that I've grown very close to, and that is, you are either coaching it or you are allowing it to happen. Brian Polian is not coaching it because it's happening over and over again. Maybe he is. Maybe there's some things that they work on in practice. Maybe this is simply just a product of the LSU players not being quite good enough. But something tells me that's not necessarily the case. Since these LSU players are good enough in the other two phases, since these players that are dropping balls and, you know, dropping punts and dropping kickoffs aren't doing that offensively, since these LSU players that are missing tackles on punt returns aren't doing that defensively. So why is that happening on special teams? It's because you're either coaching it or you are allowing it to happen. And it's been allowed to happen far too many times for me to look at the players and blame the players. That's on the coaching staff. I'm sick of talking about special teams. It's so boring to talk about. It really, truly is. And I feel silly talking about special teams week in and week out. But this team has proven that it has to be a topic of conversation every week. And I know you're probably saying, okay, but even despite the special teams problems, even despite the offsides on the opening kickoff, even despite the missed field goal early in the game, LSU still won. And yes, that's true, that LSU was still able to win despite some of these special teams woes. Same thing against Florida, same thing against Auburn. But same thing about the slow start is that I fear that if these special teams mistakes continue, they're not going to be able to win in spite of it. We've already seen it from Florida State. So, you know, special teams is another thing that needs to tighten up. And I mentioned the missed 42-yard field goal. I hate to dog on Damian Ramos too much after he's been money all season long. I even mentioned it last week that Damian Ramos has been the brightest spot of the special teams unit, which isn't saying much, but still credit to Damian Ramos for being pretty money all season long. He missed that 42-yard field goal. You got to make those. You're not going to make every single one of your field goals. You're not going to make every single one of your kicks. I understand that. But in this league, when it could have come down to, you know, 1 point, 2 points, 3 points, we've seen it happen before with against Florida State, LSU really could have used a field goal or an extra point to be able to come back and win that game. So that's one thing is, you know, I hate to dog on Damian Ramos. He's been great all season long. You got to make those 42 yarders that, you know, that's in the distance where you really should be making those for a kicker in this league. So special teams and slow start were two things that I need to see LSU kind of tighten up on, kind of work on going into the rest of this really difficult gauntlet of LSU schedule moving forward. But coming up next, all the fun stuff, the things that I loved to see from this LSU team, what stuck out to me the most in that win over Ole Miss. So I want to tell you about somebody that I know, and her name is Pamela, and she has been suffering with excessive underarm sweat for years now. So she would hide in the office bathroom every 30 minutes to dry off her armpits, you know, go underneath the fan, dry them out, so nobody that would see the wet circles and the pit stains underneath her arms. But she finally has her life back because of sweat block. No more running to the bathroom, no more wasting time throughout the day, so concerned and self-conscious about her appearance. She was able to fix her problem with sweat block. Sweat block gives you the confidence to wear what you want without embarrassing underarm sweat. The sweat block wipes were featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by the firefighters. So if you or someone that you know is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, try sweat block. Save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com, also available on Amazon. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcast. Plus, we are part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Check us out on YouTube as well. Make sure to hit that subscribe button. We're trying to get to 1,000 subscribers by the Alabama game. So that is a challenge that I'm giving y'all, the listeners. 1,000 by Alabama game. I think we can do it. But I want to get into the three things that I did like from this Ole Miss game. The three things that really stood out to me as being the brightest points and the reasons that LSU was able to snag a win against Ole Miss. First and foremost, I think it's the most obvious storyline throughout the game, and that was Jaden Daniels. He was 21 of 28 with 248 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, and that is just in the air. And I'll say the same thing about Jaden Daniels' performance passing that I did against Florida was if he did that, you know, that was the final stat line, was just his stats in the passing game, I'd be pleased. But let's add on the rushing stats, because he also added on 121 yards on 23 rushes and 3 touchdowns. So a 5-touchdown day for Jaden Daniels, 11 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks from Jaden Daniels. He looks like a completely different quarterback for so many different reasons, not just in the passing game. Because that is one aspect of Jaden Daniels' game that looks completely different. And he looks more, you know, he looks like he has a stronger arm, that he looks more confident, that he's willing and able to make some of those 50-50 throws, some of those risky throws, and to do it in traffic. Something that he hadn't done before. Something that he looked very apprehensive to do before. Jaden Daniels now looks so calm, cool, and collected doing it. But it's also being able to balance the passing game with being such a talented runner and kind of pairing those two together. Because in the past, I've said, I just want to see a balanced offense from Jaden Daniels. I don't want to see, you know, 80 yards passing and 200 yards rushing. You know, that's not how LSU is going to be able to win games. But Jaden Daniels has been able to pair his spectacular rushing ability with a really, really, really solid passing ability as well. And that is making Jaden Daniels look like one of the more dangerous quarterbacks in the SEC. A quarterback that I think a lot of people were questioning if he was even a starting quarterback in this league. A lot of people were looking at Jaden Daniels to being the factor that was holding LSU back rather than propelling them forward. All of those concerns about Jaden Daniels, I believe, have been alleviated in the past 2 weeks. Because I said against Florida, great game from Jaden Daniels. They're easily the star of the game, the MVP of the game. But I need to see him do it again. I want to see him throw like that. I want to see that confidence again. Because I said, you know, I loved that game from Jaden Daniels against Florida. How could you not? But I also was looking at Florida's defensive stats, you know, being at the bottom of college football defensively. I thought if you can do it against Florida, let's see you do it against a better defense like Ole Miss's. And he did. He broke the single season rushing touchdown record by any LSU quarterback in history. That's huge. He's growing week to week. That's another thing. He's growing in his confidence. He's growing in his ability to make plays, to throw the football, to extend plays, to read coverages. Jaden Daniels overall has just looked like a more polished, more confident, more comfortable. I mean, insert any adjective there. Jaden Daniels has been truly playing lights out the past couple of weeks. And I think that this is the Jaden Daniels that we were originally promised at the beginning of the season. Whatever Mike Denbrock and Brian Kelly saw in Jaden Daniels to bring him to LSU, we're starting to see it come to fruition. So Jaden Daniels absolutely was something that I liked on Saturday. The second thing is the run game. I thought the run game was fantastic on Saturday. LSU ran for 252 yards. And although that's not like the most massive number in the whole entire world, 250 yards rushing is a really solid day for the run game. And I think beyond just the volume, it was the running strategy. So, you know, Jaden Daniels added 121 rushing yards in the day. He was the team's leading rusher, then followed by Josh Williams with 76 and Armani Goodwin with 55. So take the volume away and the overall numbers on the day for Josh Williams and Armani Goodwin. And look at the strategic and versatility in the run game. Each of them were averaging, them meaning Josh Williams and Armani Goodwin, were averaging 4 yards per carry. What do I always say about that number when you're talking about yards per carry? If you rush for 4 yards, 2nd and 6. You rush for another 4 yards, 3rd and 2. You rush for another 4 yards, 1st and 10. It's not the most effective way to move the ball downfield, but it's moving the ball downfield nonetheless. So those are big numbers. But I think overall, they were incredibly efficient in the run game. They ran the ball well at the right time. I think there were several play calls, at least earlier on in the season. I think they also noticed it very much so against Auburn, was LSU seemed to run the ball in inopportune times, and they didn't do it very effectively. Of course, they had those big chunk plays, but I looked at some of those plays and I thought, well, I mean, you know, second and eight, you're running the ball up the middle. I don't know if I necessarily really agreed with that, but I thought the play calling and when LSU did run the ball and with the effectiveness that they did run the ball, I thought that was great on Saturday. And I also love to see two players, you know, if for two different reasons, kind of make their emergence or rather reemergence. I look at Josh Williams having a career day against Florida. He is somebody that I didn't think was going to play as large of a role in the run game as he has. And it's been great to see that from Josh Williams. The second one is Armani Goodwin in his first game back from surgery. He was out for, I believe, three, maybe four games with a hamstring injury. So it was good to see Armani Goodwin back out there and being able to make some plays. And Armani Goodwin, I think I forgot just how good he is and how hard he is to tackle. I'm not saying that he is this person, but he reminded me so much of Derrick Henry, honestly, on Saturday. The way that Armani Goodwin was able to punch up the middle and was able to get 4 or 5 yards out of a run where he was stuffed up the middle. I thought that reminded me a lot of Derrick Henry being able to add on a couple yards onto a play where, you know, traditional running back may only be able to get 1 or 2. Armani Goodwin was able to get 4 or 5. So effective and efficient running the ball. But with those two things, I think we also have to give the offensive line an immense amount of credit. You know, if I'm going to say the quarterback looks confident and is able to drop back and make passes and they're creating holes for the quarterback to run it, that's on the offensive line. For the run game to be incredibly effective, for the quarterback to be able to run 120 yards and then two more rushers over 50 yards, that's on the offensive line, making them feel confident, making Jaden Daniels feel comfortable in the pocket and also creating those holes for the run game. Credit to the offensive line, a unit that I was really nervous about going into this season. You probably were too. And in a position group that's been kind of wishy-washy and up and down and inconsistent for LSU, it's looking like it's really starting to find its footing. And I believe that Will Campbell being out there has a good bit to do with it. So credit to the offensive line as well. But the third thing that I really want to touch on that I think was the most interesting part of this game, and really when I went back and rewatched the game, I noticed it even more. And that was the defensive adjustments in the second half defense and how creatively Matt House was able to use the personnel to be able to stop Ole Miss's offense. So LSU's defense was able to completely shut out Ole Miss in the second half. After Ole Miss went up 17-3, they kicked that one field goal, and then that was it. And LSU scored 42 to Ole Miss 3 points after those first two touchdowns and that first field goal. Huge, huge for a high-powered offense like we've seen from Ole Miss all season long. I mean, Ole Miss came out dominating the first quarter. Like I mentioned, I thought that, you know, it was getting to the point where I was thinking, is this Tennessee 2.0? Like, is this just going to be where Ole Miss is able to, you know, move the ball downfield with ease and LSU's defense just doesn't have a response for it? But that's when the adjustments were made. And that's where Matt House and this whole team comes into play. Because I thought that there were two massive momentum shifts in this game. One, the Joe Fouché interception. I thought that was huge for LSU. Huge. And it seemed like ever since that interception, Ole Miss didn't seem like the same team. And Jackson Dart didn't look like the same quarterback. They got completely rattled by that interception in the end zone. And credit also to Micah Baskerville for the pressure that he got on Jackson Dart. That kind of forced the interception and forced him to throw into coverage there. But, I mean, at this point, LSU is up 24-20. Ole Miss is at second and goal at the LSU 9. So, I mean, there could have been a massive momentum swing the other way to Ole Miss, because there you go. Ole Miss is up 27-24, even though LSU very much so is in the game. It's very much so a ball game. You're having a little bit more back and forth. But because of the Joe Fouché interception, they were able to completely stop that momentum. They kept Ole Miss out of the end zone, and Ole Miss didn't see the end zone at any point in the rest of the game. So that was huge. And then LSU on that score, after that possession, LSU scored a touchdown. They went up 31-20. And at this point, it's at the very beginning of the fourth quarter. Ole Miss still kind of poised to come back but it was getting more and more out of reach. So that's when I was starting to feel more and more comfortable about this game. And I think that my comfort level, probably yours too, started with that Joe Fouché interception. But I think this is the more important one and the bigger one for me. And that was the impact that Harold Perkins made on that defense. So he, on the day, he had 5 tackles, 1 for loss, 1 sack. But I think it was just the presence of Harold Perkins that made such a massive impact. And credit to Matt House for making these adjustments. Because Matt House, I believe the game plan was to run, you know, nickel and dime packages all game long, which is what you could probably expect to see from a very spread offense like you see from Ole Miss. So, you know, the nickel package that we saw in the first quarter consists of three down linemen, 1 outside linebacker, 2 other linebackers, and then 5 defensive backs. So that's the package that we saw. And then outside linebacker was B.J. Ojulari. Now Ole Miss goes up 17-3. This is when Matt House makes the adjustments to go from a nickel defense to a 3-3-5 defense, meaning that they went into 3 down linemen, 3 linebackers, and 5 defensive backs, and taking B.J. Ojulari out as that outside linebacker and adding Harold Perkins in to that 3-3-5 package. And that's when things completely shifted, because it allowed Harold Perkins to kind of play in that slot role and also as a pass rusher, which is something that B.J. Ojulari can't do. And that's not a knock on B.J. Ojulari. He just is a pure pass rusher, and that's what he does best. But Harold Perkins was able to kind of get pressure on the quarterback. He could be that pass rusher, but he could also play on the edge as well. So he's playing on the edge, he's playing in the slot. Harold Perkins is an incredibly versatile defensive player. B.J. Ojulari has his role, and he does it very well. But, you know, the versatility of Harold Perkins is something that I've talked a lot about so far this season, and it's why I got so frustrated that Matt House and Brian Kelly didn't play him against Tennessee more, because I thought he's a good player, one, and he's incredibly versatile. He can play in different areas of the field, and that's what he did against Ole Miss. I mean, Lane Kiffin even admitted that was a big-time game changer.
They did a good job. I don't think it was a lot of schematics started playing 40 more. Which, you know, we probably thought they'd eventually do, because it doesn't look like anybody else out there.
So there you go. I mean, even Lane Kiffin is admitting it, that number 40 can do things that other players just cannot do. So credit to Harold Perkins, credit to Matt House, and also credit to Matt House, the way that he was able to use both Harold Perkins and B.J. Ojulari in third down packages. Because whenever LSU was able to get Ole Miss in those third and long situations and more obvious passing downs, they were able to bring out both B.J. Ojulari and Harold Perkins, because having them both on the field, they wouldn't be able to stop the run as efficiently when you have two, you know, pretty pure pass rushers out there. So when they were able to force Ole Miss into obvious passing downs, Matt House brought out both Harold Perkins and B.J. Ojulari and was able to use them very strategically to be able to put pressure on Jackson Dart. And that's exactly what happened. So they're able to get pressure up the middle and get pressure on Jackson Dart. And that's what caused a lot of the offensive stumbling from Ole Miss. So credit to Matt House for being able to make that change, and credit to Harold Perkins for just being that freaking dude. I love watching Harold Perkins. He is so, so fun. He also earned himself SEC Freshman of the Week honors, along with Makai Wingo, who got SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week, and Jaden Daniels, who earned SEC Offensive Player of the Week honors. So overall, massive win for LSU, huge for the morale of this team, huge for this team in terms of the SEC rankings, SEC West rankings, and huge for this team for all eyes to be on Alabama LSU coming up next weekend. But coming up on tomorrow's episode, of course, we will get into the game balls, what I liked on each phase, and some things that we heard from Brian Kelly in his Monday press conference, and what we can expect from this team moving forward. But thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.